This isn't any regular heat. This is nuclear heat. Live from the 93.7 The Ticket studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. Bringing you the latest from the Square Circle on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Jake Bachovan.
Yes, great to be back with you here on Nuclear Heat, our weekly WWE Week in Review show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Joining you via the stream this week, as of course, March Mayhem has already started, and on our radio waves, we've got some of the play-in games. It's an exciting week around here in Lincoln, Nebraska. Exciting week in wrestling. Not quite as exciting as maybe as some of the build-ups that we've had as these premium live events as we build up towards WrestleMania. But we've added some more chapters and finalized some matches that we're going to get at the Showcase of the Immortals. So we look forward to that. We will review SmackDown and Raw as we do every week here on Nuclear Heat. I am Jake Bachovan, once again, your host, along with Nuclear Heat contributor Augie Pena. Augie, how's it going so far this week?
Oh, it's going pretty good. You know, not too bad. It's been beautiful weather, you know, and ready to talk some wrestling here.
Yeah, it's a good time, again, to do a good time of the year. So we'll start out with SmackDown, and it was fun. The Rock had a homecoming, I return, believe. Was that in Memphis?
I think it was in Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is interesting, too, for Nebraska fans as they travel to Memphis. But The Rock basically was talking about how part of his career began there, and so he's really embraced by the crowd. He's supposed to be a heel. But really was kind of, it was heel Rock, but over with the crowd. And he just kind of accepted it. Kind of had a fun little segment of singing, which is not necessarily his strength, I would say, live singing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he did great on Moana, but you know, other than that, you know, yeah, it was fun, you know, just fun for the crowd to you know, interactions and whatnot.
This was absolutely a live crowd type of thing. I don't know if it added much to the storyline, but it was sure as heck entertaining, as The Rock it usually is, and added a little bit of a musical element to it. There were Rocky chants. The Rock called himself the final boss, which is interesting because what does that mean as opposed to what he is in the bloodline? Mm-hmm. Is the tribal chief above the final boss? Or, you know, there might be some room for that down the line, but ultimately, again, there's a few things that he said and talked about. Specifically, took out a belt, said he's going to whip Cody with it and give it to his mom at the end of the match. So, again, good trash talk that we saw that Cody kind of respond to. You said something prior to the show that I think we want to hit on here, is that this back and forth between The Rock and Cody now is kind of taking a little bit of the attention off Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, Roman's not, I mean, he's around, but it's normally The Rock doing the talking, you know, The Rock doing all this stuff. I mean, he calls himself the final boss. Even, you know, when we talk about Raw, they're not talking about Roman Reigns. You know, it's all The Rock, and it really makes you scratch your head a little bit, because this is supposed to be, you know, Cody finishing his story against Roman Reigns, who's, you know, the champion, has been the champion for like 3 years. You know, this guy they built up, and this guy that's supposed to be at the top of everything. And right now he's just lost in, you know, the shadow of The Rock, which is, you know, not a bad thing, because it's bringing a lot of eyes back. But this is a time where you think Roman would be side by side with him. And, you know, it makes it a little bit exciting, because, you know, this is where it starts to sprinkle in some things, you know, like where are they, you know, in the bloodline? Like, how is Roman taking that? And where's Solo? You know, it's like, where's everybody at? Yeah. It's like The Rock really came in and just took everything over.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I even think Seth Rollins, for as much as he's been involved in McIntyre, has shined light on his interest in it in the feuds, promos that they've done with them. That Seth, who I at least at one time thought, just keep him out of this feud altogether. Yeah. I don't know why he's included. Now he's kind of, in my mind, even getting a little bit more of a spotlight, of a little bit more of significance and importance, it feels like, in this match, as opposed to Roman Reigns as well. Maybe they're just hoping, you know, their story, his the fact that he hasn't been defeated in so long, he is the champion, is able to make up for that once he gets into it. But it does feel a little bit underwhelming for Roman Reigns as far as how important is this match to him, when it should feel like it's the grandest stage of all, it's WrestleMania, and he could to continue the streak.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, to point that out, Paul Heyman's getting more screen time and everything, you know, than him. And you know, like you said, it's the road to WrestleMania. This is when you're a champion. Like I said, you're built champion that they've just shoved down our throat, you know, beating everybody. This is when he should be on every single show, you know, at least every SmackDown, you know, talking his way, you know, showing he's the main guy. And they haven't done that. I mean, this is like the third or fourth show he's missed since, you know, their buildup, you know, since everything there. And it just really makes you think, like, are they kind of putting everything too much into that night one match? Like you said, you know, that night two, it's like, you know, what's that feel going to be like? You know, don't put too much on night one and then night two be that letdown, which I'm kind of worried it could get into, you know, depending on night one there goes. But yeah, where's Roman in all this, you know?
Yeah, it just feels weird. The big dog, as he was once known, is it feels a little bit overshadowed. By the way, Zach over chiming in on Twitter saying, oh my God, how long have you guys been doing a WWE show? So we're still trying to get the word out. But yeah, we've been doing it for quite some time and we'll do it every week. So join in if you can. Zach predicts too, Rollins will turn on Cody. He will be Cody's shield. Man, if they play homage to maybe a chair shot to the back when Cody's not looking, that would be
amazing.
That would be amazing. So there, I mean, there's so many different angles and it's hard to imagine that they're going to be, you know, screw this up. Yeah. So I think it's going to be fun one way or the other, but again, not exactly how I'd book it. Yeah. So we'll kind of see what they do with it. Next matchup there on SmackDown, Angel and Umberto take on Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde. Another matchup between Legado del Fantasma and LWO. The crowds have been chanting for it. They finally get, no, this has been happening over and over again. I was confused because I thought this was a qualifier to get into the six-pack challenge. Maybe it was, they were kind of talking about how it was the kind of a bracket. I don't know if they were trying to play off the March Madness stuff, but Angel and Umberto win, but they weren't included on the graphic when Monday night for Raw. So from what I'm seeing, this is probably not the last time we'll see this match. I'm expecting, I guess, another one to for the battle to get in the six-pack challenge again. But either way, I think you're probably doing the right thing with Legado del Fantasma winning against LWO. Of course, this is the LWO of Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde. If you had Rey Mysterio in Carlito together, I think that would be an entertaining and intriguing matchup for somebody to throw into the six-pack challenge, even more than Angel and Umberto. So I think they got to kind of think about what they're doing as far as putting this all together. But as far as those guys go, I'm at least a little bit more interested in Angel and Umberto.
Yeah, no, I agree on there. It was a little messy, very confusing. You know, because I as well thought, you know, they qualified for that the six-man tag match there. But yeah, you're right. You know, Angel and Umberto, you know, they've been around for a while. They've actually been a tag team for like 2 or 3 years. You know, and so for them to finally get some recognition, I guess is nice, you know, include them in that WrestleMania card. Cause you still don't really know all that much who Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde are, you know. Yeah. It's one of those, they're like the least known out of all this. So, not a bad match, but man, we've seen this for like 3 months in a row, you know, the same guys just, you know, going at it, and you know, they got to freshen up. They got to start sprinkling in some more guys, you know, or something. Something has to.
At least it felt like there was stakes on these. Yeah. That's the only way you can kind of freshen up old rivalries that you have. But again, now I'm confused as to what those stakes were. So it's just kind of a confusing deal. So we'll see what they do with that. On to more important things, because neither of those teams are going to win the six-pack challenge, even if they do get in. LA Knight challenges AJ Styles to a match at WrestleMania. All the while, Styles comes out and attacks him with the chair and accepts the match. What did you kind of think about this? I mean, it was obvious that's where they're headed. Yeah. The way that they set it up, having the LA Knight come out and talk to Caleb Braxton, kind of weird. He kind of just took the mic and said, can I do that? And Caleb Braxton's like, sure, and walks away. It's like, well, Caleb, this is your job. Yeah. This, you were supposed to get an interview here. You asked the questions. But of course, it's wrestling, so they can have some fun with it. I just thought, you know, I thought they did a good job. The chair sitting over the body of LA Knight, who's so infuriated, was breaking TVs, wanted to do anything to get his hands on AJ Styles, and then one chair shot and he's done.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. You know, you kind of have to play along with it, but I thought it was solid enough.
Yeah. You know, for like, you know, when I mentioned before, it could be worse for LA Knight. You know, AJ Styles is an accomplished champ, you know, who will probably be a Hall of Famer. So, you know, to get the WrestleMania match against that, but the thing I think that's hurting LA Knight a lot too, though, is the fact that The Rock is around right now. And if you ask a lot of people, LA Knight is just another Rock. You know, he's like a cheap version of the Rock is what I've heard him called, like Stone Cold and the Rock's baby.
Throwback to the Attitude Era.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like the same thing going on there. And I'm catching on to that. The more he's getting on the mic, the more with the Rock around and things like that. But I thought this was fine. You know, it's good exposure for LA Knight. And I really hope he comes out on top of this. And because I know they'll put on a good match at WrestleMania. Yeah. You know, my fear is just, when is that match going to happen? Is it going to be a before, you know, like a pre-card show, you know, fill-in show there? They just need to, they're trying with it, but I don't know. I I'm an LA Knight fan there. It just kind of hard to see him go down this road, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you could just see it coming from a mile away. I mean, it was because this was a long-term storytelling, so you kind of like that long-term storytelling. But at the same time, it just feels a little underwhelming from where LA Knight fans had once envisioned him, I suppose, for WrestleMania. So it feels a little light there. It's kind of interesting because I've seen, you know, arguments on the internet about whether it is or not. AJ Styles, since his heel turn, hasn't exactly got the big win. Mm-hmm. So you're not catching him at the best time. At the same time, he is very well respected across the industry, a Grand Slam champion in a short time in WWE, and he changed, claims to have built SmackDown. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be a good match. You got to feel like LA Knight wins that one. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if that does anything to propel him other than to say, yeah, we got him on the WrestleMania card. So, it just depends on how you look at it there. From there, we had Randy Orton and Grayson Waller before this match. Logan Paul asked Nick Aldis to punish Orton for attacking his business partner the week prior. As the match was about to begin, Paul came out to watch in person. Orton ultimately got the win with the RKO. Theory then went for the chop block and to try to disrupt the celebration. KO then comes out and makes the save as the heels were ganging up on RKO, or excuse me, on Randy Orton. And they even had the move between KO and Orton, kind of the KO into the RKO or whatever, you know,
pop up power bomb into the RKO.
Well, this time it wasn't the pop up; it was the Stone Cold's move.
Yeah, the stunner. Yeah,
and people, I saw a lot of praise around the internet for how well this was sold. I thought Theory kind of had a hesitation jump into it, so I didn't like it as much as some people. But ultimately, you know, good enough storytelling, and kind of moves this match along, or excuse me, this feud along where it needs to go.
Yeah. And, you know, Logan Paul right now is on every show, you know, bringing that U.S. title, really selling this match, you know, this feud. And I love it. I think, to me, this is probably one of the more surprising feuds, you know, that's hot. You know, it's Randy Orton, you know, and KO. I mean, there's a lot of things, but I think ultimately it's just going to end up being Randy Orton, KO, and Logan Paul for that United States title.
That's what they announced too. Nick Aldis came out and announced it.
And it's going to be, I think that's going to be a money match. You know, you got Logan Paul, who we've talked about is huge around the world. Randy Orton is a, you know, 14-time champ, and KO is no slum himself, you know, former champ. So that's going to be an exciting match. So I'm interested to see kind of where they go from here, you know, because KO and Randy Orton have had this buddy-buddy, but now, you know.
Yeah.
You can't be buddy-buddy if you want to win that title. Take it from Logan Paul. So we'll see where that goes. But I'm excited for it. This is a fun segment, a fun match for me.
Well, and they did the deal again for 2 weeks in a row where they've had KO and Orton nearly collide accidentally. So, you know, obviously that's going to happen. They're going to have to turn on each other before we get to WrestleMania. I agree with you. I mean, I think it's really good. I would have... I hate to say it. I don't know if KO necessarily needs to be involved. Yeah. He adds a little bit to it. And gives him something to do, but you could just do Orton and Logan Paul, and it would just be just as good, I think, for WrestleMania. So kind of interested there, and they've got a little bit of storytelling left to do, maybe to make it look, you know, a little bit more important, because right now it looks like your two faces would just gang up on Logan Paul.
Yeah, and I was going to say, my only one gripe, one thing I would change, Randy Orton's got to turn heel somehow. You know, we've got to bring that ruthless Randy Orton into this. It can't be this, you know, buddy-buddy face, you know, against Logan Paul. You got to unleash the Viper, the Legend Killer. You got to let him go crazy on Logan Paul here.
Well, it's kind of fun, too, because Orton can hit an RKO without necessarily turning heel. Yeah. It's just, it's like it's grandfathered into wrestling. Yeah. It's just not necessarily a heel turn. especially if he's going up against KO. Yeah. If KO turns heel, that's I love a heel KO too.
Can they all just be heels? You know, just all of them just be the bad guy, and we see, you know, we see the pop-up powerbomb, a stunner, the brass knuckles, and a punt. You know, all just happen. Yeah, I think that'd be fun. That'd be a great time for me. So,
well, they're doing a lot more face versus face and heel versus heel matchup. So you might get your wish there, but we'll see. Ultimately, again, there's still some story to be told there. But you're right. That's a good feud that's going on. Interesting, and feels important leading up to WrestleMania. The next matchup on SmackDown was Dragon Lee and Santos Escobar. Lee is, of course, a high flyer. It looked pretty good for as quick of match as this was. But all it took is one move from Escobar to take Lee out. Carlito and Mysterio both show up. That's Rey Mysterio. I know there's a couple of Mysterios in the WWE right now. Carlito and Rey Mysterio both show up at different times to defend Lee from Legado del Fantasma before this thing's over. Mysterio then challenges Santos Escobar for next week, not for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So I think a little bit underwhelming because there's all these other matchups where we're saying, all right, that's it. WrestleMania is the only way to finish this in this matchup. Probably not quite as we've been predicting all along going to be on the WrestleMania card. Mm-hmm. Again, to me, I think if I'm thinking of making it a bigger show and getting something going, I would have paired Carlito with Rey Mysterio, put them in the six pack challenge. But I'm interested. I mean, right now there's just enough heat, long-term storytelling again with Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar. I'm intrigued for that matchup next week.
Yeah, it'll be a good SmackDown, you know, episode. Isn't it funny that they took up pretty much two segments on SmackDown? You know, the LWO members and that they're really pushing for this. I don't know, you know. I mean, they get two segments. They're not the Judgment Day, you know, they're not the Bloodline. You know, I get it. You got to fill it there, but I'm interested in it too. Cause you know, Rey Mysterio is one of my favorite, you know, theme songs, things like that. But just interesting how much screen time these two factions are just getting every week.
When I don't know how many, you know, obviously Rey is an older guy. I wonder how much more you're going to get out of Rey as far as how many more WrestleManias he have. So again, I try to find him a way in there. Could be a chance whatever happens next week can escalate it to WrestleMania. But right now, I would still say that's probably going to fall short of the card. Moving on there, we had New Catch Republic defeat Pretty Deadly. Again, apparently not a qualifier match. So you're having seemingly what should be, or maybe it's just moving them closer to the opportunity to get a qualifying match this next week. New Catch Republic, kind of a new deal. Pretty Deadly had a little bit of a run earlier this year. But more of a comedy act. Again, neither of them necessarily believable or wanted to win at WrestleMania, but entertaining enough match. I guess both, I mean, they could both go.
Yeah, I was going to say, this was kind of a funny match. I think Pretty Deadly is hilarious, you know, and what they do. Just their costumes, too, you know. Just everything they do is pretty funny. And I kind of feel bad for this New Catch Republic because I feel like they are a very good wrestling team. But when you're in a feud with Pretty Deadly, and it's not even, as you said, I don't think it was a qualifier match. I feel like they did mention it, but they didn't announce that they qualified. So it's one of those weird things, you know, where it's just like they're teasing us right now with that. So, you know,
so fun. I'm wondering, like, I'm confused. I'm confused about it because I think it is like they're saying on SmackDown, they're like basically semifinals to the qualifying match, and on Raw they're just like they just have a qualifying match. So that's what I think is confusing about the whole ordeal. But maybe you'll have Legado del Fantasma against New Catch Republic for a spot next week.
I mean, that makes sense. So then are you know, does that like pretty much say that SmackDown only gets like one or two teams in, and then Raw is going to fill the rest? It doesn't really make sense on what they're doing here. So I'm even more confused now than I was, you know, coming into this show. So,
yeah, it is a little confusing. And it feels like if you're going to have those matches, they at least should be related in some way, because your tag team division, quite honestly, outside of this just isn't hot enough. So, just kind of weird. But New Catch Republic gets the win. I think, again, that's the right call. Then we head to our main event for SmackDown, Bayley against Dakota Kai. Damage Control, of course, going to get involved a little bit here. Bayley tries to overcome the numbers. Eventually, Dakota Kai gets disqualified, and the numbers gang up on Bayley. Naomi comes out and makes a save. So kind of interesting as they were once a tag team, I believe. And then Damage Control by the end of this gets the last laugh. They held up Bayley by her arms and legs while Io Sky could hit a suspended moonsault to end the show. I thought that looked really brutal, really good. Even looked like it might have didn't land exactly where they wanted it to, which made it even look like it looked worse there. So I think this was good. I don't know how far it moved the feud forward. And it was almost predictable in how it was going to end in disqualification. Yeah. But again, that's part of what they're doing right now in these episodes is just, you know, the feuds are there. How do we extend them?
Yeah.
Try to add something to them, but at least extend them.
You know, I'm a little disappointed because I feel like this was one of the hottest storylines going into the Royal Rumble, you know, and then Bayley wins, the turn happens. I just feel like they've really kind of run into, you know, a wall a little bit with their own doing with, you know, Io not being the one that's kind of, it's,
when's the last time she wrestled?
Exactly. Yeah. It's Bayley versus everybody else. And they're doing the same with Roman, but it's like, Io doesn't even talk, you know, it's now Dakota's the vet, you know, the communication for her. It's one of those. It's like they have all the pieces. It's just not, I don't think it's captivating the way it should be. You know, it's not getting our attention there. And a lot of it is, you know, Io hasn't wrestled, you know, Io's kind of, she feels like the side character in this, you know, when she's the champ, Rhea, you know, she should be the Rhea of SmackDown. She is the Rhea of SmackDown. You know, that's the position she's in and they're not treating it like that. And it's just kind of, it's a little disappointing to see, but I mean, this was a good match, you know, like you said, very predictable. We'll see where Naomi goes with this. You know, is she going to be in the corner? Cause Sasha Banks is not available now since she made her AEW, debut there. So that's
CEO.
A little, that's a little disappointing there. You know, I was hoping for a reunion, but you know, I'm still interested in the story. They got to do something to really get Io involved with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the finisher is not quite enough. I think, you know, from where this has turned the last couple of weeks, Dakota Kai's kind of been the spotlight. Mm-hmm. The Kabuki Warriors just in general have a longer career in WWE than Io Sky. So she does kind of feel lost and they try the story like this has been the Io Sky faction plan all along, but it's still just kind of like, but I'm not convinced you're the leader of the group.
Yep, I agree with that. So they need to do something else.
Yeah, so we'll kind of see what they go with there. She's absolutely fantastic in the ring. Yeah. I love her facial expressions because it's hard to, you know, they're all constantly changing. So I like her as a character. I just think the booking has cooled off a little bit from her, the attention on her. Like you said, kind of similar to Roman Reigns. Maybe they told the story too early and now they've tried to find some side characters, some side work to get involved, and it's taken some spotlight off of what they're ultimately hoping you to look forward to at again, the Showcase of the Immortals. All right, let's take a quick break here on Nuclear Heat, our weekly WWE Week in Review show. We will be right back after this.
Back to Nuclear Heat with your host, Jake Bakoven, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Glad to be back with you to talk a little bit of wrestling here on a Tuesday night. It's our WWE Weekend Review show, Nuclear Heat. And we'll talk about a character who has nuclear heat yet didn't even get an entrance on Raw. So plenty for us to continue to complain about as we usually do. But we enjoy, obviously, the product enough to break it down with you here. If you've got any thoughts, you can go ahead and join us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or Twitch and comment. And we'll gladly bring your comments in. As well as you can hit us up on our text line, 402-464-5685. Let's jump into Raw from last night as we already looked back on SmackDown. Once again, if you missed that, head to theticketfm.com shortly after the show. You can find our SmackDown review. But Raw opened up with Jey Uso and his yeet glasses as he calls out Jimmy Uso, his brother. Kind of fun as Jey Uso was. I thought this was maybe even under noticed in the broadcast as Jey calls out Jimmy Uso, says, "I know you're in there somewhere." And he just comes out of the crowd with the and his brother come out of the crowd with the black hoodies on. And they're always just attacking with black hoodies at some point. So kind of telling the story that they were planning on something at some point. So I kind of liked that. Interesting back and forth. I think this feud needed this confrontation, mm-hmm. so I was intrigued. As you open up Raw, like, what was going to happen? I was praying to God they weren't having Jimmy do something else because they already did that. Like, if you've listened to this previous episodes, I was kind of, I thought that they had this really hot feud when Jimmy interrupted and stopped Jay's opportunity at the Intercontinental title. And then they just kind of like, all right, let's drag that out another 2 weeks. But felt like it kind of got back to what was there that night with last night's promo. Jay told his brother that he misses him, does the good guy thing. Jimmy does the bad guy thing and says that he takes credit for everything that Jay has ever ever done, or at least the top of his accomplishments. Solo Sikoa was there too, like as I mentioned, and they eventually turned on Jay, as you would expect, mm-hmm. and start to have a beatdown. Though I suppose Jay took the first swing, if I remember correctly. So there was at least that. Just not smart thinking. You're outnumbered there, Jay. And so they have the 2-on-1 beatdown. That is, of course, until Cody Rhodes makes the save to stand tall along Jay for the opening segment. Again, I thought this feud needed it. Interesting to get Cody Rhodes involved. And what is Sola going to do? Kind of wish he had. He beat every time they give anybody the opportunity to beat John Cena. You should have a plan for him afterwards. And there's been really nothing for him as an individual competitor since then.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing for him. You know, you're sad for him because he has a lot of talent. When he's given the chance to talk, I think he does well. You know, he delivers a good promo. He's just kind of the lackey, the sidekick right now, really, in every storyline. You know, they have to get Cody involved in this. First off, I thought Jimmy did a great job. I think this is going to be amazing. I'm predicting the over-under of 100 super kicks, you know, delivered between the two of them in their WrestleMania match. It's going to be super kick, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go from there. But I thought this is good. This is the first time they're really confronting each other, right, outside of, like, distracting each other and being sidekicks. So thought it was good. They could really build on this. The Cody save, like I said, that makes sense because, you know, they're all involved in the storyline. I think they'll all be a part of, you know, the WrestleMania night two somehow, you know, when it's Cody Roman. Not bad, you know, a good start for Raw. I think, man, though, the Jay is just so over. And I think Jimmy does a good job delivering it as a heel too. But Jay is just, he's still so over, you know, his entrance. Everybody loves it. Their lingo, just, you know, the whole yeet thing, you know, that kind of throws me off a little bit. But I guess that's what, you know, kids are saying these days, you know, yeet, right. No, you know, I love one of them's yeet. The other one is no yeet. You know, I still don't even know what yeet means, but, you know, we go with it. But, you know, I thought it was a good opening for Raw.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting enough. And by the way, the brother versus brother matchup, I mean, we've said it before. They're acknowledging some of the brothers that have fought in the past there, mm-hmm. they're not acknowledging Undertaker versus Kane at WrestleMania as brother versus brother, which in storyline is the best brother versus brother storyline I think WWE's ever had.
Yeah.
They might not be real life brothers. Though,
yeah. It's fun. Thing. Honestly, I remember that Rock My World when I was like 13, 14 years old and I found out they weren't brothers. I was like, wait a minute. They're not. I was like, that just ruined everything, you know, because they did such a good job at it. But no, I agree with you. Those are some fun times, man. Yeah. Some fun times.
That's what I was kind of running through it, and I was like, so how do they do the best brother versus brother match at WrestleMania? And again, it's according to what they've told us, you know, you've got the Hardys and you've got, what was the other one? They had the Hearts.
The Hearts.
Mm-hmm. But they don't acknowledge Undertaker and Kane. So I'm a little disappointed by that, but that's fine. They're doing real life brothers, I think. Moving on from that segment, backstage, I had Paul Heyman catch up with Adam Pearce and told him he was only there on official business. He had already sent Jimmy and Solo out the door. I guess he didn't. And he said they came on their own, so it was kind of their own business. But he was sending them out the door. So Paul Heyman teases something coming up later, which we'll get to. But intrigued me enough to kind of keep my eyes on what was going on. Ultimately didn't really advance the story too much, but we'll get to that here soon. Then we had DIY versus the Creed brothers. And this time it was for a chance to get to the six-pack challenge for the tag team titles at WrestleMania. So Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano ultimately get the win over a very game Creed brothers. Again, a face versus face matchup here. And just a showcase for their athleticism. If anything, we've already seen that out of the Creed brothers. Mm-hmm. They looked great. They had several near falls. I think the right story here is Johnny Wrestling and Ciampa getting an opportunity to go to WrestleMania. They used to be faces of the NXT. Yeah. They've never had a WrestleMania match. They were kind of telling that story throughout this match as well. So I like the booking there, but the Creed brothers have the most generic gimmick right now. Yeah. But if they find something for them, they've got bright futures.
Yeah, and it's a little disappointing that they're the ones that had to lose, you know, in order for this. I feel like the Creed brothers, they're younger, so they still have their time, but this would have been a great time for
them
to be there. They
could add a lot of athleticism to that kind of ladder match and all that stuff that's going on.
They can, but at the same time, you know, you've said it, like Tomasa and Johnny Gargano, they've been around for a long time. Yeah. You know, I think they're both almost in their 40s. You know, and they've been around this, and this is their first time being at WrestleMania. So, you know, it's well-deserved, well-earned there and all that stuff. So, you know, we'll see. I'll say this, though. DIY, they put on good matches. They do. Yeah. You know, they work really well together. So I could see them as a dark horse to win. You know, I don't think they're legitimate contenders, but, hey, you know, you never know what the WWE can do in that ladder match there. So
that could be a pretty big story, again, for how much they've done. Adam chimes in off the text line. DIY is sick. Both of their work in NXT Black and Gold is top tier. And, yeah, many people would echo that. They were really great and at times the face of NXT. At that time, that version of NXT, they both, you know, and they had big names coming up to the roster. Just haven't been pushed the same, obviously. Yeah. They're the top of the card in NXT, kind of have stuck around in the mid card here in the big roster. But they can certainly put on a show, and maybe this is their ceiling. It's a very good tag team together. And we'll see. It's hard again to see a singles push from one of them right now because it just hasn't. Yeah. You know, they kind of tried it here and there and it hasn't really worked quite yet. I think, again, they're going to have to heat them up a little bit. Yeah. But that would be a big story at WrestleMania for them to get the win.
Yeah. And I just want to say this. Tomasa and Johnny Gargano not having success is partially, you know, their booking and things like that. But at the same time, I think it's like we're huge fans. I would say we're huge fans. But I think it's kind of our fault because we don't pay attention to NXT. You know what I mean? We don't follow that religiously like other people probably do. So, you know, a lot of the crowd, when I've gone to a lot of events and they bring up an NXT talent, it's dead. You know, it could be the face of NXT, but nobody knows
that's
who
the
they
thing,
are.
The majority of the WWE audience doesn't.
We don't watch
NXT
that because it's been, you know, given to us as kind of like a developmental. Now they're trying to make it like a third brand, but it's been a developmental league and you don't pay attention as much to those, you know? So I don't know. I would say it's kind of our fault too. You know, we don't pay attention to that. So they're new to us and maybe their gimmick was solid and, you know, they thought it needed to be new. I don't know. It's just, you know, one of those, but you know, like you said, I think they're great as a tag team. They need to be pushed a little bit that way. And I think they can be a dark horse for this.
Well, and just physically, they're not very big. No. So, I mean, there's a ceiling to somebody that is that height. I mean, Daniel Bryan was able to maybe overcome it, but there's very few, you know, stories. Rey Mysterio, obviously, as the biggest small guy as far as a career goes. But yeah, at some point you have to have a little believability to it too. And neither of them look like world champions. Yeah.
So you're telling me the two of us couldn't go out there and win a world championship together?
I don't think so. I don't think it'd be very
that's
believable.
Disappointing. I felt like we could take them.
I'm very excited to see what both those tag teams. A lot of promise for both of them. Like you said, even though DIY. Older in age, but somewhat young to the big roster here. Katana Chance and Caden Carter then take on Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae. Of course, this was after Candice LeRae kind of went Mean Girls last week. So was that going to continue? I would hope so, because that's about the only reason anybody would be interested in this match. Unfortunately, again, don't mean to bring down the competitors here, but neither tag team is really kicking it too much here, though. Chance and Carter did just have a chance at the tag team gold, but that felt hot shot, not necessarily earned. In any case, LeRae ends up continuing her heel turn here. She mocked the injury to Katana Chance's knee. The refs kind of had a stoppage there. She goes in there, slides and hits Caden Carter, and then takes the knee and slams the limb into the ring post before submitting Chance for the win. So the Poison Pixie, who has had just about nothing as far as a character goes, just kind of good girl, pink hair, smile, now at least has something. Hartwell doesn't seem to fully embrace what she's doing. So maybe you have a split there. I could care less about that. So I don't know if that's necessarily the direction they're going. we've always said TV time is better than no TV time. Candice LeRae is at least getting a gimmick.
Yeah.
That's about all I can say.
it kind of makes you think a little bit, though. It's during WrestleMania season. You know, it's like this is when they're giving her these segments. So to me, that's telling me Andy Hartwell versus Candice LeRae, the Raw before, the Raw after, the pre-show. You know, is this a WrestleMania type? You know, like, is this something they're giving us? It's very late for that because, like you said, I mean, it's good to freshen up a character like that. But where the heck are they? Like, I agree with you. Like, you know, where are you going with this? Because I would say, you know, 95% of the people have no idea who Candice LeRae is before, you know, this Mean Girl thing started happening for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, it's just weird, you know. But I think out of all this, I think Indy Hartwell is going to come out on top. You know, the biggest, like I said, she was the NXT champ, got hurt, you know, was supposed to be a big deal. Maybe trying to work her way back up with it. So, you know, while they're working on Candice, this could be good for her too.
Yeah, we'll see. Again, you gotta kind of try to bring up the mid card as well. So that's what they're attempting to do here. Then on Raw, we had Cody Rhodes respond to The Rock, basically said some Rock type of stuff. It was it was dirty words which get wrestling fans excited, and just shots taken at The Rock. And for example, he said that he feels like that The Rock is Roman's side chick at WrestleMania. He also says, I don't think you're a heel. I think you're a bleep hole, as well as they had an LDS chant going. And I don't know if I can even talk about that on radio. So we'll just let you figure out what LDS means if you want to look it up. In any case, eventually, Paul Heyman interrupted the proceedings, came out to lay down his challenge to Cody Rhodes, which is that Roman Reigns will show up Friday night for their face-to-face alone. But Cody Rhodes has to do the same. I don't know if that advanced the story like it was kind of what Paul Heyman was teasing earlier. It's kind of like we're telling about these weeks of wrestling is they've already kind of got the story in place. Now they're just trying to ways to advance it. So it didn't really pay off to me, but it was still a pretty darn good promo of Cody Rhodes being very serious. But I don't even like, it's hard to say whether I think it was smart or whether I believe that they're either of them are going to show up because it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, alone.
And I got to say this, Cody Rhodes needs to show up in a dark suit and deliver promos like this. I think every week for this to really catch on. Cause he did a great job with it. And he needs to bring his dog too, by the way. Cause I thought that was a pretty cool entrance there. Not entrance, but you know, backstage thing with his dog. But I thought everything he said to The Rock was great. You know, I thought it was a little forced, you know, like you said, a lot of, you know, he kind of was making fun of The Rock, you know, just saying a lot of things The Rock would say. But you know, I think Cody can deliver a great promo there. But the whole Paul Heyman thing just fell flat. You know, he kind of left us on a cliffhanger, you know, in the promo. He's like, but wait, there's one more thing. He's like, you need to come alone. It's like, well, that's kind of, everybody kind of knew, you know, that was happening. So it fell flat there. And normally Paul Heyman delivers, you know, it's weird. Cause like we said, it feels like the focus is Cody, The Rock, and then they try to bring Roman in. And it's just that's supposed to be the main part of the storyline, you know, is finishing it all and doing that. And it's not connecting, I think, as well as it should be. But it was still a great promo, great segment, you know, good things there. I do different things, but, you know, I'll be watching Friday Night SmackDown to kind of see how this goes.
Absolutely. And Jey Uso, by the way, backstage offered Rhodes that he'd be his backup if he wants somebody. Obviously, Seth Rollins would be there as well. Mm-hmm. So. Kind of interesting to see how they do that. But as of right now, again, doesn't look like it's really that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to wait and see. All right, let's take a quick break. We still got Ricochet and Dominic Mysterio, Sami Zayn and Gunther. Another awesome truth in Indusheer, which was going to lead to WrestleMania as well. Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. And then you had the last woman standing match between Becky Lynch and Nia Jax. We'll try to go through that somewhat quickly as we're running out of time, but we'll quickly go to break and then do that here on Nuclear Heat on 93.7 The Ticket.
Back to Nuclear Heat with your host, Jake Bakoven, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Jake Bakoven alongside Nuclear Heat contributor Augie Pena. We're going through Raw from last night's episode, and we are on Ricochet against Dominic Mysterio. This was set up with Damian Priest, Finn Balor, and Rhea Ripley. I'll get mad at JD McDonough, excuse me, for failing to beat Ricochet in last week's gauntlet match. So they turned to Dirty Dom and said, "You got to do it." Dirty Dom accepted the challenge, but did suffer the same fate as his teammate, as he also fell to Ricochet here. Okay. you know, I like anything really involving the heel faction, but I really think they should be doing better with Dominic Mysterio again, getting him ready. Didn't even see his entrance, which he's booed out of the building every week with his entrance. So, but kind of missing on an opportunity here again to build Dominic. And I mean, what are they going to do with Ricochet?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I mean, they essentially gave Dominic the jobber entrance, you know, you know, he's there. And then I think people, you know, around the internet have a gripe with that. And then Ricochet's beating everyone in the Judgment Day. So, you know, like you said, where are they going with that? You know, he's 2-0 against them. So, you know, is he going to cost them something? You know, is he going to interfere? Because I don't think Ricochet has any plans for WrestleMania right now. So it's an interesting storyline, but they need to do our boy Dominic a little bit better there.
Yeah. We're big Dominic Mysterio fans, so we're going to be upset anytime. And his 2K rating was better, I think, than Ricochet's. He's like an 84 somehow. Sometimes the talent, I suppose the whoever's doing the booking doesn't quite see it that way. So we'll have to see there. Also, you know, maybe it is leading to they've been trying to recruit toward the Judgment Day. Maybe that's going to be part of it, is say, hey, you have to go and beat Ricochet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, and Ricochet just beats everybody and eventually joins. I don't know, you know, it's something like that. They could do whatever they want with it.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. I doubt it's anywhere quick with what they've got going on there. Sami Zayn and Gunther then have to sign the WrestleMania contract. Gunther tells Sami in the ring, "If you were to be honest to yourself, you don't believe you can beat me." Earlier in the night, Sami Zayn was told backstage by the leader of the Alpha Academy, Master Gable, that he doesn't believe that he can beat Gunther. So kind of interesting as we're going here. It's more of the Sami Zayn needs to win to prove himself and you know, type of deal. Are you okay with Master Gunther maybe bringing along Sami, or does he just need to be in the match?
No, Chad Gable needs to be in this match. I hate this. I'm not going to lie. And I heard, you know, that Sami Zayn was actually legitimately upset because he got booed. He got booed after he beat Chad Gable, and he's legitimately upset, thinking people don't want him, you know, in this match, and we don't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, Sami, you're not the guy we wanted for this, and you know, this will further the storyline and things like that. But I'm just upset because they did the signing. So now, how do they bring Gable into this? You know, he's still a part of it. He will be, but right now it's looking bleak for, you know, for it just going to be Sami Zayn versus Gunther, which will be a good match in the ring. But story wise, I mean, it's not what we wanted.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, maybe have a triple threat here at some point. I think, again, this is maybe makes more sense for a triple threat than what they're doing with RKO, KO and Logan Paul. But it doesn't always have to be sensical in wrestling. So we'll see what they do with it. Like you said, I mean, if Sami's just doesn't seem like he's got the steam behind him. Maybe if it was last year's Sami with everything he's had, be a great time to cash in on a victory for Gunther. But it just doesn't feel like the time. So we'll have to wait and see. We then had the Awesome Truth take on Indus Sheer, who was brought out by Jinder Mahal, former world champion. The Miz even rapped with Truth on their way to the ring. So that kind of goes back to the early days of Awesome Truth, which I also saw the graphic that said they debuted as a team in 2011. As would be predicted, the Awesome Truth seems like a team that actually does have a chance at the six-pack challenge at WrestleMania. And so they get the win in a silly way, as you would imagine, as it was an aired elbow from Mahan to Truth that sent him backwards onto Sangha, who had just endured a Truth Detector skull-crushing finale combo. So this was the win there. Great for the Awesome Truth. Again, I think that this, you know, they it's hard to call him a legitimate challenger, but, you know, it would be a fun kind of story to tell at WrestleMania if that's what they ultimately choose to do. It's crazy that Indus Sheer just has the size, but they've just not been booked well, obviously. And it's particularly interesting for Veer from a few years ago when he had promos that he was just going to come through and wreck all of WWE. now to be accidentally pinned by R-Truth. Not necessarily great character development for him.
Yeah, and R-Truth didn't even know he won. You know, he got up and he's like, what happened? Disappointment for them, but I love this. I want R-Truth. I want The Miz to win, you know, the WrestleMania. I want R-Truth is going to do something hilarious. He's comedy. He's great in the ring. You know, he's like 55 years old. So, you know, he's still doing amazing for his age. And, you know, I love everything that R-Truth does there. So, you know, him and The Miz being in the WrestleMania, I'm all for in this ladder match. Something's great is going to come from this. You watch.
Yeah. Either way, it'll be fun. It's a fun story with those guys involved. Then we had Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, kind of a rinse and repeat from what's been going on before. They added to this now that Rollins admitting that he is a spotlight junkie. And then McIntyre asking, why can't that be the reason we're getting the biggest spotlight? He's still upset that Rollins has some other matches and not giving him the ultimate respect. Mm-hmm. To me, this was kind of a rinse and repeat promo and didn't add too much to the story, but two guys that are great on the mic, the crowd in general the live crowd would like to see it. So it was there.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I can say really about it. It was there.
Yep. No, I agree. It was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was good, but same stuff, you know, pointing out the same things. And that's what we're going to get to WrestleMania between these two. So, you know, just buckle up, guys. It's a bunch of talking. So,
well, and we'll see. Of course, they do have the appearance in Chicago with CM Punk has been advertised for. So I still think that's part of this story altogether. Maybe CM Punk again, not healthy enough to do a match, but maybe a spot at WrestleMania to cause McIntyre to lose this, I think would really heat up that feud as you get into it. So Seth, very over with the crowd. Though I agree with The Rock that some of his character isn't his best character work. Mm-hmm. And McIntyre just absolutely one of the best complete packages they've got since his heel turn, kind of refreshing his character. And so I'm very excited for the match. More excited, I think, than I was when McIntyre won and got his chance here at the Royal Rumble. I think they've done a good job of developing that story.
Yeah, since Elimination Chamber, I think they've really done a great job. Chamber,
excuse me.
Yeah. No, it's all good. We know what we mean here. So many premium live events, but I agree with you. I'm very excited for the match. And I'm just excited for WrestleMania to get here. You know, it's like this build up and it's just like, it's always good. You know, it's always good. We're going to be really, really happy. We're going to be really upset with what they do there.
And we won't have long to complain because the Raw after WrestleMania will be there before you know it. So it's all fun there. Then we have the New Day against Alpha Academy again. This one to determine the winner would go into WrestleMania for the 6-pack challenge for the tag team titles. Otis, I think, looks really... Otis is always really fun. I think he, you know, maybe needs a little bit more of a spotlight. Maybe not quite Money in the Bank holder like they had tried before. Mm-hmm. His work with Mandy in the past was really good. He's just kind of been stuck in Alpha Academy behind Gable, who kind of outshines him a little bit. So there is that. But ultimately, we knew Gable wasn't there. So there was not going to be an opportunity for this portion of the Alpha Academy to beat the New Day, one of the all-time best tag teams. So New Day goes to WrestleMania, gives them something to do, which I think is good. But it would be a surprise to see them get another championship. But they're good to throw into any tag team match you ever have. You want more credibility, throw the New Day in.
Yep, agreed. You know, they've earned it. You know, they give it a name, you know, some legitimacy there. But they won't win. Like you said, they're just there to be there. I wish Gable could have been a part of this on there, but other than that, I mean, we kind of knew where this one was going. You know,
Tozawa's not going to win. Anything.
No, although he's funny, he's funny. Not gonna
and
win.
Very athletic.
Yeah, he is. He just
it's fun, entertaining.
He's Jobber 101.
But yeah, he's not going to win any matches. So there is that. And then we have the main event for the evening. I thought they did a great job of promoting this one. Mm-hmm. Last Woman Standing match between Becky Lynch and Nia Jax. And they're always going to have this rivalry going back to kind of Becky Lynch's peak of her career and what kind of brought her to where she is now, the status that she is now, which is often used against Seth Rollins for some reason by his opponents. But in any case, Becky Lynch and Nia Jax, very hard hitting matches, a lot of near falls, getting tables involved, lots of weapons involved here, as you would imagine. Ultimately, Becky Lynch does get the victory. Another manhandle slam and through a table, I believe, is ultimately what did it. Yep. I think she had to do two of them, if I remember correctly. And then Rhea Ripley comes out face-to-face with Becky Lynch to close out the episode. Are we done with Becky Lynch against Nia Jax for now? I think, again, you could turn it on at any point.
Yeah.
But at some point, these matches have to have some sort of gravity to them that maybe will be the end. If you're going to do a last woman standing, you would think that would be the case.
Yeah, no, and it should be done because, honestly, it was a manhandle slam, and then Becky jumps off of that ladder, like does a drop kick type ladder, thing.
That's right.
Yeah, and ends it there. But it's still interesting because before the match, Liv Morgan's involved and tells Becky Lynch to go finish Nia Jax. You know, they're on good terms. So there's just a lot they're still doing here. I still don't believe this is, going to be a Becky Rhea one-on-one, but I do think that Nia and Becky should be done. Cause I mean, last woman standing match, went to Becky, you know, and that's kind of what settles it there. You know, it's the last woman standing, and she was, so yeah. I think feud should be over.
Yeah. We'll see if Liv and maybe Nia get a feud going, to kind of finish off that part of it. But that'll wrap it up for this week's episode of Nuclear Heat. Thanks for joining myself, Jake Bakoven, and Nuclear Heat contributor Augie Pena as we run through another week in wrestling. We'll have another one. Thanks for joining us. We will let you know again on our socials when we will be back, but it's been Tuesday nights, so look out for us on Tuesday nights. Hope you enjoyed the product, and we will be back as we count down to WrestleMania. Once again, that'll be enough for us here at 93.7 The Ticket. But we do have the Daily Nebraska Show coming up next.